It was not a great.
On that note, this is Mike Sessa with PESC. This is the Jason Task Force on Monday, June 17th, 4 p.m. Eastern. We meet weekly. Our chair is Michael Morris from ACT. We have on the call Steve, Nate, Michael, Ryan, myself. Is there anybody else? So within the Jason, team here, Michael, we sort of hit our first checklist when you led the team and delivered the Jason rules, PESC compliant rules for Jason. And now we are entering the environment where you've been testing the Jason schema. We also had questions about migration to Jason LD, relationships with schema.org. And so I'm ramping you up so that you can sort of articulate some of the not only philosophical questions we have, but very strategic, very practical, very pragmatic, and very architecturally critical sort of decision points that are going to be either hitting us very shortly or very near in the future. So there's a big up, there's a big ramp up, Michael, but everybody jump into it.
I'm going to let you down a little bit, but
Michael, you never let me down.
Right. Anyway, yeah, I think I'd like to expand a little bit on where we've been and what we did is, and the first thing you brought up was we really worked on rules that would allow our base of our community to have both XML and JSON-based standards, and a way of doing that and a way of making those standards so that they were semantically almost identical as we could make them, and also made it much easier for JSON programmers to be able to extract information from JSON. So those rules were really essential. We worked a long time on those. We worked with A4L. I think they were enthusiastic about what we came up with. And so that was a success. And we had a goal there, and we understood where we were going. The second thing we did was we said, how can we automate that process so that we can actually get JSON that has its own JSON schema? And so we looked at tools, investigated those things, worked with those tools, and demonstrated, to my satisfaction anyway, that we could produce JSON and JSON schema that were parallel and semantically equivalent to the XML we produced. So I think that's what we've accomplished. After that point, we just started talking about JSON LD. And we got a good perspective from Credential Engine on how they use JSON LD, what the issues were, when it was appropriate to use JSON LD and when it wasn't appropriate. And I think they understood that. I think Nate understands that, but I'm not quite clear on that yet. And we also looked at things like schema.org and defining many of the same objects that we define in our PESC standards. So we were educating ourselves, but where I'm uncomfortable is I'm always comfortable when I have a goal and I have a deliverable and I'm trying to accomplish something. So when we did the document that covered the JSON rules, that was a target, a goal, and we knew what we were trying to create. The same thing was true when we were working on getting our process down for creating JSON schema and also creating JSON instance documents from XML. So those, we had a goal and we accomplished that. And now I guess my discomfort is I'm not sure where we're going next. And so the goal today was to talk to the team and say, where should we go next? And is there a deliverable we can come up with that gives us a target to head toward, because without that target, we'll just be jumping around from topic to topic and really not having any direction of our meetings. And I think people will sense that. And I think one reason we've sort of had a drop off in membership is people are wondering, well, where the heck are you going? Where is this? What is this JCLD, and what does it mean, PESC, and now what does it mean to all these other organizations, and where are we going to go with it? So that's where my discomfort comes in, and that's why I wanted to bring that up with the team today and get people's input on where should we go with this, and what is our deliverable here? And so I'm going to open it up for that. And Michael, you may want to expand on what I've said. But I think that's the issue that I've been dealing with, and I think it also has led to a decline in our attendance as well, because we don't have a clear goal where we're going.
I'll give anyone a chance. I wanted to jump in with something, but I wanted to see if anybody else.
Yeah. Go ahead and jump in, Michael. I don't think anybody else is responding.
Okay. And I think this is an excellent spot to be in, Michael. And this is, you know, why I love you to death, is that we never put the technology ahead of the business. So we're not looking to promote any technology over another. We're technology neutral. And so that means we're as friendly to distributed ledger technology and AI as we are EDI. And this is where I think the timing that I was hoping for might come to fruition. This week, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce Foundation's T3 Innovation Network team, which PESC is now a grantee of, along with HR Open Standards and IMS, so all three of us have been granted funds to work together. And specifically, it's under the Learner Record team. And that's because the Learner Record just So what T3 is after is just what PESC is after. The best, most informed data elements that are the most usable, the most quality, best defined, add the highest value, solve a problem, can be grouped together, and develop learner record standards. And so what PESC's plan is to bring a team in. And I had that same question, Michael. What are we talking about? There could be one record. So it could be one learner record, which employers find valuable to either consume or demand from higher education or from secondary, from high schools. I think what folks might be overlooking is the investment that folks have made in high school transcript systems and college transcript systems. So PESC's strategy has been, yes, we can still look to develop a learner record, the comprehensive learner record or the learner record, that one thing, and I think people are thinking about it as one thing. PESC's approach has been to say, okay, in that one thing, if there are X number of data elements, let's say, for instance, 100, how many of those might be applicable to the high school transcript? Maybe there's 59. Okay, well, the other 41 just are not needed or usable or found as valuable at this point for those running high school transcript systems. So we add 59 data elements to the high school transcript. The other 41 could be in the next upgrade. That's the thing about PESC, is we're constantly doing upgrades and releases. Of those 100 data elements too in the learner record, maybe 99 of them will go in the college transcript. And we would follow that. Of the 100 data elements, maybe only 17, are applicable to the PESC test score standard, or 14 are applicable to the PESC, e-portfolio standard, or, 88 are applicable to the course inventory standard. So rather than just look at one target as one sort of black box, it's to look inside the box and say, okay, the learner record is made up of a number of things, which in and of itself is wonderful and might have value. We're hoping the employers do find value in it. But from a PESC standpoint, it's to upgrade our standards. And so that's where the whole strategy came in, is to upgrade all PESC standards to 2.0 so that there might be steps in between, so that folks might want to take steps with the JSON now. They might want to do JSON before they do 2.0, but whatever that means. In 2.0, we have to decide what technology do we release that in. So, for instance, I'm calling it the high school transcript learner record version because I don't know what else to call it. So with that, as we, you know, Michael, your question is what should we do? Whenever I'm in doubt, go back to the PESC values. Form a work group. Well, who would lead a work group? Ken Sauer from Indiana, who I spent a lot of time with last week at the Dexter Academy in Indianapolis, which was held at the Strata Network's headquarters in downtown Indianapolis. And so Ken and his boss, the commissioner, Teresa, I believe, Lubers, I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing it incorrectly. Dexterra folks were there. A whole host of other folks were there, folks from Amazon Web Services, to Credential Engine, and so, I asked Ken, how ready are you? And he said, he's ready, because Ken Sauer is a champion of the high school transcript. So we have someone that can write a letter of intent yesterday. In fact, that's on my to-do list, is to write a draft letter of intent to get the ball rolling that Ken could sign, following the PESC process. So that's one answer, Michael, is go back to the PESC process. And the PESC process is form a work group. We could also get a co-chair, and whether that's Jason Weaver from Parchment, because they are a major provider to, Indiana. We could have three co-chairs. You know, we could do whatever we want, but also with the letter of intent, I can then shop that around and see who else wants to sign on to it. So that could be, you know, Nova Scotia, because the Nova Scotia Council on Admission and Transfer, which is a government body, just developed and released a data exchange for high school transcripts through the province of Nova Scotia. That's what we awarded them the best practice this past year for. But the high school transcript is also used in California, in Georgia, in British Columbia, in Ontario, I think in Manitoba, I'm not sure. So we have a group ready, Michael, and it's the high school transcript. So that's sort of one. Part two is, what are they producing? And that's something I think we have to have the conversation with, because I think number one is Ken would be interested in an XML solution. So we have to figure out, you know, do we go to a high school transcript version, you know, 1.7 or whatever the heck it is. We also attach the JSON rules to that so that he can enable, you know, JSON communications throughout the state. But I think the ultimate question then becomes, what about JSON-LD? Because JSON-LD, in my impression, Michael, then introduces the relationship with schema.org. We could still investigate a relationship with schema.org, but to me, the two go hand in hand, and maybe, Nate, you can jump in and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm still interested in schema.org because I think they're a major player, and we always partner with major players or look to establish relationships, blah, 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 blah. But my question is more operational and tactical, is how fast should I run to form a relationship with schema.org? And if it's, you know, tied to the decision to JSON-LD, then I don't have to sprint. If it is, then I, you know, then I'll sprint. So there's one and two, Michael. I think I was hoping trying to answer you succinctly, but, you know, I failed. So one would be to form a work group. And two, then to have a conversation with the work group that we would form through PESC on what the outcome could be. And then the last point is this serves as a template for us moving forward. Because now with the grant, we could now develop an online place or repository to post the PESC standards like we did with the registry and repository. So we upgrade PESC at the same time. We upgrade the implementation guide process that we use with NEEM. We do everything and we sort of bring the PESC process to a new platform. So, you know, and so what's behind that? It could be the college transcript that follows the high school transcript. So that's why I think, you know, if we do the high school transcript right, like everything else, it sets an example for how to move forward. So let me stop there and catch a breath.
Yeah, it does. I guess the issue there is we'd form a work group and that still is not this particular group, this Jason LD group. So the deliverable one thing that you mentioned that we could do is start exploring, taking, for example, the high school transcript, looking at the objects in the high school transcript and seeing, which of those would be appropriate for a new area within the schema.org.
Right.
Now, schema.org, right, their focus is on web search. And so, you know, is that the right place to, is web search what we want, or are we just looking for a place that becomes really just a repository of all of our objects that, and not just PESC objects, but educational objects that people can use, and is schema.org the right place for that? I think Credential Engine decided that that was maybe a good approach. So, Nate, you want to comment on that?
Michael, so
go ahead, Nate, and then I wanted to circle back on your first point. Go ahead, Nate, jump in.
Yeah, so whenever you talk about schema.org being a place for those kinds of things, are you talking about data or elements of your schema?
Data elements. So what we'd be talking about is data elements. So if we have a set of elements that are that reference transcript information, grades, and things like that. Is that something that would be appropriate on schema.org, or should we look for some other place of putting those objects then we can later reference and link to using the whole notion of context within JSON-LD?
Well, a couple of different ways to approach that. One would be to see schema.org as kind of a starting point where they've already got a bunch of defined data elements as far as, you know, properties for certain types of values and then certain structures that allow you to provide, you know, I guess, structured values, which I'm being really vague. But essentially, if you want to start out with schema.org properties and classes and say, okay, we're going to start here and kind of build our thing up based on this, that's one way to look at it. But because you've already got, you know, your schema basically set up and figured out, it's probably going to be more of an exercise in mapping if you want to go down that route. As far as getting anything added to schema.org, that's possible. We had a couple of properties added to it, but the vast majority of what shows up in the CTDL, educational occupational credential class, the vast majority of that was properties that were already in schema.org. So there's a lot of mapping that takes place between, say, vanilla CTDL and the schema.org version of a CTDL credential. So you'd be looking at something like that if you wanted to go that route. Another way to look at it kind of at a higher level is that, like you said, schema.org is based around web search. And if your data is mostly about student records and things that I would guess are generally private, maybe starting with something that's centered around web search isn't really the greatest idea. And then one of the other things that came up a little bit earlier, I think, was the question of whether or not schema.org was necessarily tied to JSON-LD. It is not. Schema.org is, I guess, RDF-centric, if you want to look at it that way. And JSON-LD is just a particular serialization of that. So you could encode schema.org properties and classes in a number of ways, a lot of which actually are either HTML or XML-based. So there's no necessity to use one or the other if you're using one of them. But certainly it's an interesting question. I guess the other part of it is the question of interoperability between PESC and all the systems that are going to use your schema, and how much of that is going to carry over into whatever those systems might have already built, and in those cases, how much of what those systems have already built is already using schema.org, because it doesn't really help you to map to schema.org if you're going to be then putting your data, or if you're going to be having your data get transferred between systems that weren't using it either. So there's that aspect of it to look at. I think maybe a better starting point would be, hard to say, because if you're dealing with systems that are already using PESC, then presumably you don't even have to worry about the mapping of it. The JSONLD aspect would be useful for web search, because a lot of search engines look for JSONLD. I guess there is that aspect to it. So if you want to, that connection, I guess. So Google, if you look in their developer documentation, does officially recommend using JSONLD whenever you're embedding RDF data on your web pages. So that's not really a direct connection between schema.org classes and properties and JSONLD, but it is an argument for using it, I suppose. But beyond that, I wouldn't really see it as necessary, I guess. But I don't know. I feel like I'm going off in several different directions at once, so I'll turn it back over to you.
No, that was helpful.
No, that's all, yeah, it's good that we need to think about that. You had some comments, Michael, you wanted to add?
Yeah, I wanted to circle back to one of the first points, if I didn't clarify, is so the example I was putting out there, which is, you know, an example I'm moving forward with, the high school transcript. I think there are a larger pool of XML experts that would volunteer under a PESC banner, as Matt Gee called them, pescatarians now. I loved it. So I think that group could, you know, move on its own doing the XML. And what I was thinking, Michael, is, you know, it's not the right term, but, you know, it's a simultaneous development. While that group is moving forward with XML, this group has no interest in the XML, but what are they trying to solve? And between the two groups, could we help inform their work so they have a better product at the end of the day? And could we pop out something in JSONLD, you know, simultaneous development-ish? That's what I was kind of saying is, right, that we bring that work group to hear, and can have even, you know, I'm sure Ken Sauer would love to have that conversation, because now it's going to be front and center to his world. And I know Jason Weaver would love to participate, because Brian's already on from Parchment, and, you know, our roots in the task force go all the way back to SAM when we formed. So, that's how I think the two groups would work together, Michael.
Yeah, that,
also,
I think
that might also relieve you from having to join another weekly meeting.
Yeah. One of the things that getting that the Chamber of Commerce is doing with bringing the groups together is trying to create more commonality, and I was wondering if you had any discussions during those meetings about CDS and all those EDFI, all the vocabularies we have, and a way, you know, people are tons of mapping, but mapping gets really complicated. Is there any discussion about? And I know the learning record is focused, but how do we get these things together? And that's been, you know, we spent a lot of time with CEDS, critiquing CEDS and giving feedback that they ignored, back in a couple of years, 2 or 3 years ago. But they were trying to create a vocabulary that was common for everyone, at least at the database level. And then they were thinking of a layered architecture where, yes, you would translate that through mapping to different organizations.
Yeah.
But that mapping issue becomes, if it's a one-to-one mapping, that's easy enough. But if it's 1 to 20 different kinds of 20 different vocabularies, then we have a real problem. So I was thinking if we could, there's some way we could start some kind of repository that contained objects that were everyone could use. Obviously, everybody's got their existing base of vocabulary, but if we could start in with this learning record, all of the new stuff we're coming up with, if we could start publishing that as, since it's IMS and it's PESC, and who else was a part of that group?
HR Open Standards.
HR Open Standards. If we could come up with a public site where that vocabulary was available, much like schema.org, and have people start using it, and then we'd have we could start having some elements that are referenceable as context in a JSON-LD type context. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, and I haven't thought through this very carefully.
Are you talking about the test schema or something else?
We'd be talking about some public site that those new elements that were agreed to on this learning record as a starting place would be recorded.
Okay. So they don't have any kind of a infrastructure or a site set up for that?
No.
All right.
So let me jump in. Let me jump in with an update and say you're right on, Michael. In fact, Common Education Data Standards is part of the partnership team. So it's IMS, HR Open Standards, PESC, and Common Education Data Standards. And is another group, but they're writing a paper as we move through this process. So I don't know in the short term, Michael, but you're getting to the heart of the strategy. And that's one of the things that T3 and Lumina and everybody's looking at is okay, we're calling it now the data harmonization team, which is the second life of the credential mapping team. So that group now folds into this group. So we're doing data harmonization across all the standards bodies. And the long-term question, they've asked, should there be long-term sustainability of this effort? In other words, do we continue as three organizations that work together, four organizations that work together? Is there some hierarchy? So I think it all needs to, this is why I was saying on the Friday's call, you know, this might be, you know, what we've all been waiting for. You know, is there one standards body in education? You know, HR Open Standards is a separate industry. But we have, you know, Access for Learning, and we have IMS, and we have PESC, and even, you know, the Michael and Susan Dell Foundation claims that EdFi is a standard. And, you know, the difference is it's not an open standard that follows the guidelines as outlined through all the laws and specifications that I've mentioned, because they are the standards governor and the standard setting body all in one. So they're the Apple model. Okay, they're a standard. I agree. But Michael, to get back to your other point first about, Common Education Data Standards, you know, they didn't accept our comments. FSA didn't accept our comments. We have it in our rules that, you know, we go through comments, and if we don't agree with them, we reject them. So, you know, I don't know what the consequences of that were, but, that's, you know, that is also part of the issue when you are the standard developer and the mandator all in one. So that's So that was my long answer, Michael, is the simultaneous development. And we can get this ramped up pretty quickly, too, because the first call, if I hadn't mentioned, is this Thursday. So as part of that initiative, the team, so the T3 team now, the chamber, has asked the standards bodies to fill out a survey. Tell us about your standards. And so they sent me a draft, and, you know, we already started, that's why I was late to this call, Michael. We already started looking at this form. So they're already starting to survey, IMS, PESC, get your open standards, come in, education data standards. How do you deliver your standards? You know, what's the URL? And I said, well, you have to understand with PESC, you know, our standards made up of three things, whether it's the schema. So you have the actually standard schema, then you have the academic record schema, then you have the core main schema, then you have the implementation guide, then you have the instance documentation. So the PESC standard is actually five things. So, you know, we also have to educate folks. And HR Open Standards said the same thing. They have other tools and stuff that are part of their standard. So is it just enough to have the schema? You know, so now what's nice about this is we're going to be looking truly across all the standards bodies to see how we operate. We've all grown organically, responding to the community's needs, you know, who was in the room at the time. You know, but our process is based on ANSI, and negotiated rulemaking, which happens in policy. So the 30-day public comment period, that's where I pulled that from. Our standards are based on the ANSI process. And I'm not sure everybody else, you know, can say that. And you also work ANSI. So, but anyway, Michael, so the first call is this Thursday, with the data harmonization team. It's sort of an organizing meeting. So, it's ready to go. So we could be talking about this sooner rather than later, and that's also why I wanted to record this.
So the the issue here, though, is we have an opportunity because we're creating new objects, new concepts for everyone to come up with. We need a process, though, by which everybody agrees that these are going to be the elements we're all going to use, and we need a repository to keep them. Just otherwise, everybody will morph back into their own standards. And so I'm still not clear how we're going to accomplish this, and maybe that's just part of this.
I'm not exactly clear yet either, but we're going to move forward and we're going to ask the questions openly and ask people where they're going. And if folks are ready to do a joint repository, whatever that means, then we'll investigate. And if not, then we have to make another decision. You know what I mean? So we have to move forward and figure out what's the best thing for PESC, what's the best thing for the community. We don't want to, you know, take a sharp left when everybody's taking a sharp right. But at the same time, we also have unique organizations within the PESC community that need something. So waiting to some degree is not the answer. So that's our balancing act, Michael, is, you know, as simple as I could say it.
Yeah, Michael and I have dominated this conversation. To Brian or Steve or Nate, you have any comments on what we talked about so far?
I think it does kind of sound like the same thing that the Google and Bing and Yahoo and I think it's Yandex were facing, you know, way back when, wherever they came up with schema.org. And I don't know the details of how that project came together or how it's managed today. I just know that it's kind of a collaborative effort between the major search engines because they were facing the same issue of, like, how do we – What do we tell webmasters to put on their web pages so that we can all crawl and understand it so that, you know, every website under the sun doesn't have to have four or five different separate descriptions of the same data in order to work with all of our crawler technologies? Same kind of issue in principle. You've got a bunch of organizations with a bunch of, although in this case, you've got a bunch of established standards through the various groups that you mentioned. So it's probably even a little bit trickier because you want to, like you said, you want to face, you don't want to, end up creating a brand new standard only to have that just be added onto the pile of standards that everyone's already using, and you know, maybe it'll get a little bit of adoption here or there, but not really take off anywhere. So part of the question comes down to how do you drive adoption if, let's say, you do succeed in developing a brand new standard that supposedly everyone can use?
All right. And I'll jump into and say maybe it's a 1-2-step process, Michael, is, you know, PESC is committed now to life, you know, for lack of a better term, lifelong learning, informed data decision, standard setting, development, and setting. So we're making commitment to lifelong learning. So everything going forward is now going to have the quote-unquote stamp of, you know, lifelong learning. The second question is now where do we put them? And how do we continue with that? You know, we used to call it single point of contact, right? Make it easy for folks and automate this whole process. And I'll be the first one to repeat it if I haven't. Other industries maybe do not talk about standards as much as we do. And that's because they're highly automated, their commitment to standards, they're further along. You know, maybe we shouldn't be talking about standards as much now. And, but the difference is we, like Nate says, is we're in a development stage. We're in a threshold period. And so we do need to talk about standards, but it's my hope that standards go back to the normal place in the life cycle and everybody commits to them and you move on. It shouldn't be this but much drama. There, I said it.
I like what I've been hearing today because historically we found ourselves in this position in the past, but most of those times it's been within PESC where the technology work group would, or the TAB would come up with something and then we'd be sitting there talking amongst ourselves saying, well, we have to talk to someone else before we go beyond this point because we need more input on the decisions. But as I said, most of those instances we would have to consult with another group within PESC. But here we're looking at the opportunity to take what PESC has created for its audience and work. Now it's time to look at working with other groups to satisfy an expanded audience. And this to me seems like a goal wasn't written down when PESC was formed, but it's a good direction to go in. And what I'm hearing is the next steps to take to figure out what to do and who with, it all makes sense as a good approach. It probably will work. If it doesn't, well, then try something else. But the direction sounds good.
Steve, yeah, it does remind me of the good old days. But, you know, we're not there yet. I don't know what, you know, whatever words Nate said, you know, we're not there yet. You can't give up. But what kills me the most is this is achievable.
Right.
This is doable. This is my rah-rah speech. So, Michael, are you okay if I turn off the recording?
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine, yep.
Okay. That's a nice little close recording again. Stop this recording. That's a stupid question.